Care Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
People shouldn't be forced to stop working just because they reach a certain age. That's according to Age Action. The organisation, which appeared before an Oireachtas committee, is calling for the mandatory retirement age of 66 to be scrapped. And Mary Murphy, policy analyst with Age Action, joins me now. Mary, thanks for taking our call. I was listening to some of the comments made by Nat O'Connor from Age Action yesterday, and also some of the feedback from that Oireachtas committee. And generally what you feel and your organisation feel is that nobody should be forced out of work.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's about choice. We're not wanting people to stay in work if they don't want to. If people want to retire, that's great, and they should have that that freedom to retire. But if people want to stay in work, and if they're still able for it, and if they still have something to contribute, we don't want to see them forced out because of their age. It's literally, you know, you hit a birthday, you were fine the day before, you turned a certain age, and you're out the door the next day. And that's really what we're taking issue with.
Does it depend on the job that people do? Because I can think of some that are in their 70s and 80s and they're still working part-time. So does it come down to the job or the public-private sector, or what way does it work?
I think there are probably differences across the sectors. I mean, you talk about Canada, New Zealand, Australia, the USA, who they've all abolished mandatory retirement ages for decades now in some cases. But they might have a couple jobs where there are different restrictions, you know. But it's really about older workers, if a job is working for them, being able to stay in. And like you said, that might mean going down to part-time, but some people want to stay in full-time. It's really, I think what you'll find is just such diversity in older age, and such a, you know, these are human beings with their own aspirations, their own preferences, and it's just about them being able to make the individual choice that's right for them.
There were some pension changes that were announced last year that allow people now to have the option to work up until they're 70, and if they choose to work until then and not retire at 66, they'll receive an adjusted higher state pension rate. Are we seeing more and more people working to the age of 70, maybe for two reasons, financial and the fact that they're actually able and feel as though they're well able to work until then?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, even just in the last 5 years, I mean, certainly when you look at the numbers today compared to the 90s, I mean, so many people are working longer than they used to. For women between now and the late 90s, it's increased five times over. It's a huge increase. It's really different, and our society needs to catch up with this change. People are living longer. They're living longer, healthier for longer, you know, so they want to be able to stay in work. But I think that financial element is also real, that there are going to be some people who are staying in work, who want to stay in work because they need to financially. And that is a concern for us. You know, we want the state pension to be strong. We want it to be the bedrock of income in older age. And we don't want people to be under pressure to remain in work because financially it's their only option. We want it to be there for people who get meaning from their work, who enjoy it, who like the sense of community, who get their sense of identity from their work. It's for those people that we want them to have the option to stay in work. And other people, we want them to be able to retire if they need to or if they want to, regardless of their financial situation.
As you say, it all comes down to choice. And do you feel as though people in their 60s and closing in on retirement age are kind of met with stereotypes? Because I was talking to somebody recently who was meant to be retiring last year but decided they were going to keep working. And they said, sure, you know, 65 is the new 45. I don't feel as though I'm anywhere close to retiring yet from a physical standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of ageist attitudes and beliefs that go into, you know, the culture around mandatory retirement and the assumption that it's best for everyone, for someone as soon as they hit 65 to leave work. And honestly, that's one of the reasons we want to get rid of mandatory retirement, because how can those stereotypes be challenged if older persons aren't in the workplace to challenge them themselves? You know, we need the older workers to show what older people are capable of, and the diversity, as I said before, within that age group. And we've also seen, you know, that employers who might have it in their heads, certain ageist stereotypes, certain assumptions they're making about older workers, the research shows if you actually have them manage older workers for a couple of years, they'll realize they were wrong. You know, they'll be like, oh, I thought it was going to be like this and it wasn't, you know.
Just finally then, before we read some of the messages, we asked listeners about their views on what they feel should be done here. And to be honest with you, the overwhelming majority say they agree with Age Action that this mandatory retirement age of 66 should be scrapped. The appearance before the Oireachtas Committee then, did you get any kind of soundings or feedback from TDs that what Age Action is calling for was actually being taken on board?
I think people are supportive. They understand. It's just logical in so many counts. You know, I mean, even from a practical societal point of view, you know, if you're forcing older people out of the workforce, that's less people paying taxes, people drawing down on social protection earlier than they would have otherwise. Like, it's not a good deal for society as a whole. And I think people are able to understand that.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Mary Murphy, Policy Analyst at Age Action Ireland, thanks for your time this morning. Let's catch up then on these messages, because a lot have come in to us and it's getting a lot of people talking. One says that Age Action can bang on the table all they like, but if you work for a foreign company, and in this instance the listener references an American company in Ireland, their policy is that you only get a 1 year extension when you get to 65, even though this listener has emailed the CEO of a company in question and is still awaiting a reply. Okay, I wasn't aware of that was their policy. Another one here says, Owen, I'm 73 and would love 2 or 3 days work. It's great for mental health to be meeting people and having a laugh, says Anna. Also, Rose texts in to say, yes, it should be scrapped, up to everyone to decide if they want to retire. I know I wanted to at 66, but it's not for everyone. I'm busier now than when I was working, but I love it. Wouldn't have it any other way. Independent councillor Shamie Moore has texted in to say, people with skills and an aptitude to provide the required service should be allowed to continue in work. Stage reviews of work performance every 3 years would be acceptable, according to Shamie, who also says that at the age of 85, he says he's still able and wanting to continue working at what he loves best, representing people who prefer someone else to speak for them. And Shamie going for election again in the local elections at the age of 85. Another one says, yes, let people choose when to retire. If they have their health and wish to continue, then so be it. There is a lot of living to do post-retirement too. Never give a life to a job either. It's okay, says Marion. That's the other thing. Some people might look at it and say, no, at the age of 66, I've done my time. I have given the last 40, 50 years to working. I want to get my camper van now and drive all around Europe with the wife or with the husband. That's fine as well, you know? Whereas others might say, no, I need to keep working for another 5 or 6 years. I feel like I'm able to give my all to the company. I also need it financially to continue to provide for the family. We're not in a stable situation. What Age Action are calling for is that choice. And I think it's a very important discussion. Evie Salmon, Fine Gael councillor on the Naas Municipal District. Good morning to you, Evie.
Morning, and morning to your listeners.
Local issues that you raised with the council. First of all, you wanted the Naas Municipal District to seek a meeting with Local Link regarding an orbital bus route for Naas. Any sign of it?
Yeah, so look, we've agreed to invite Local Link in, but I suppose as Naas expands in almost every direction, there is a need for an orbital bus route around the town, and the councillors agreed to seek this meeting. And we look forward to making the case to Local Link for that orbital bus route. I think a lot would benefit students in schools like Piper's Hill and Naas Community College that aren't in the centre of the town. And indeed, it might encourage employees in some of the businesses on the outskirts of the town as well to take public transport. So we'd love to have a chat to them about that, and maybe even outline a route that would work the best. You know, there's people that could be One side of Nathan want to get to the hospital, the other side, or even want to get to friends and family the other side of the town. So I think it would be good to trash it out in the space with Local Link and see if it's something we can deliver.
Just out of interest, what's public transport like in Ballymore Eustace, Evie?
We are quite lucky. We have a Local Link bus that goes to Blessington and Fallons and Naas, and we have a Dublin bus, the 65. And quite good bus times as well. So, I would say we're well served, although we are trying to get that bus to stop in a few more rural areas, the likes of Kilteel, the likes of Punchestown. It's essentially on that route, very small diversions to get to those areas. And I think that's something we'll look at with Local Link as well.
All right, we stay in Ballymore Eustace then, and you wanted the council to take the River Liffey Walk in charge. Are they going to?
Yes, so they have no objections, but like everything in Kildare County Council, they've also told us they've no money for it, so they haven't budgeted for taking it in charge. Now, there isn't much of a budget needed for it, so I've asked it for it to go on to the progress report so that we can work on taking it in charge. At the moment, it's maintained by the Community Development Association out here and Tidy Towns, but they receive no funding to maintain it either. So I made the point at the meeting that it's going to have to come out of the budget somewhere, whether it's through Tidy Towns grants that the Tidy Towns maintains it, or whether it's through the park section funding and it's taken in charge. So look, it's in fantastic condition. It's not a case that the council would have to take it in charge, and there's a lot of work to put into it. The Tidy Towns have done the bulk of the work with the Riverwalk, and it's been tarred and it looks fantastic. It's completely accessible now as well. So it wouldn't be a big job for the council to take it in charge. It would just take some of the pressure off of the Tidy Towns, and I'm sure they'd still be happy to maintain it in the way that they do.
Yeah, it's in great condition. We only walked it there the other day. No dog poo bags, though.
No dog poo bags, no. And I'm not getting any either. So, the council have said, look, I think everyone across the county is probably sick about talking about dog waste. The council have said they are no longer providing dog waste bins or bag dispensers. They're promoting the message that it's any bag, any bin. But I suppose it's still an issue. Like, it's an issue everywhere in the county. And I don't know, is it going to take time to get it into people's heads that they can't just leave the house with the dog and the lead and not bring a bag? And I suppose the idea of any bag, any bin, if you need to pop into a shop or a local business and grab something from them. So I was speaking to the Community Development Association out here again and the Tidy Towns, and we were talking about maybe working with business owners in the town to place bags there. But part of me thinks that even if we did, these people who just leave their dog waste behind them wouldn't go in and get a bag anyway. Nice. So, you know, it's we need the warden out and to be catching people. But the problem is they're either walking their dogs very late at night or very early in the morning, because it seems to be there when our Tidy Towns team gets out first thing in the morning.
All right.
Yeah. I have one more on just on the taking in charge of
Bellingsfield. Yeah.
So just, I suppose, by way of background, the road into Piper's Hill, Bellingsfield and the school campus is in the ownership of Ballymore, the developer. Now, KWETB have just received planning permission for the replacement of four pedestrian crossings and the reinstatement of line markings within the campus. We are still waiting on the Department of Education to sanction the long-term solution of a second entrance for the traffic issues down there. But I think this road, which isn't in the council's ownership yet, is an integral part of the jigsaw to solve the traffic issues and maybe even to push on the Department of Education to sanction that second entrance. So the council have come back and said that Bellingsfield and Piper's Hill, they haven't received a taken in charge request from the developer yet, but they are working with them to get to that point.
This second entrance for Piper's Hill, Evie, is in the Bermuda Triangle somewhere.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Like, is it ever going to come or what?
Well, like, the plans are done for it. The report is there. I believe it's with the Department of Education to sanction the funding to go out for it. It's essentially down where the prefabs were. The prefabs are being cleared. So everything would lead me to believe that it is coming, but it's just extremely, extremely slow. And, like, I've been raising it at KWETV meetings relentlessly for the last 5 years, to the point where I can nearly hear the eye rolls when I ask to speak when it comes to the building section of the meeting. But I suppose until the department sanctions the KWETB, we're stuck, you know, we're stuck in that, exactly that Bermuda Triangle. But it's something I'm going to keep fighting for. I don't think any of the short and medium term solutions are going to have quite the impact that a second entrance will have. So it is something I'm going to keep fighting for.
Fine Gael councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Evie Salmon. Thanks for that, Evie. After the break, we're going to Newbridge, where listeners are concerned about road safety on the Standhouse Road. Some residents say the road is too narrow following recent work.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Well, the other day we got a message in to the programme to say regarding road safety, there's a new estate in Newbridge called Curra Farm. It has an exit onto Standhouse Road. In the past few days, they have realigned Standhouse Road and put a new footpath on your left as you leave the town towards the racecourse. Since Wednesday, there has been one confirmed crash, according to this listener, and at least two near misses that we know of, and they have left the road too narrow for two cars to meet and pass safely at the crest of the hill. That came in from John, who is a resident in the area. He's on the line now, as is local Fine Gael councillor Peggy O'Dwyer. Good morning to you both. John, just maybe elaborate on that message that you sent in to me the other day and outline for listeners what the problem is.
Yeah, good morning, Owen. Thanks for the moment of your time, and good morning to Peggy too. Look, yeah, as I say, thanks for the moment of your time to try and get a bit of common sense while the construction workers are still on site. So, look, realistically, what we know of, and I know because one of my neighbours was involved, it lost a wing mirror in a tip there already. But, look, I don't know if you've seen the little video I sent you in earlier on.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, there's a piece of road there, and it's been left at 4.4 metres width, and I don't know if the standard road with dimensions for a C or B road is that. But because of speed and velocity and the camber of the road, when you're coming out of town, your alignment, it puts you in the middle of the road. And if a car comes up the crest of the hill, you probably have 1 to 2 seconds to react to get back into your left if that car is doing the correct speed limit. But the problem is, when you go in left, you're hitting the footpath. You can't move left. The video I showed you there a minute ago, I was standing on that piece of footpath, and I would hate to be a person with a buggy coming out a new housing estate, moving into School Mirror there with their kids. You wouldn't. You take your life in your hands to cross along there. The side of that path is already badly scuffed with rubber. And exactly on that spot, a neighbour of mine was within the speed limit. If you do the combined speed limits, if he's doing 30k going out and the driver coming in is doing the permitted 50k going in, you have the potential for an 80k impact there with nowhere to go. And it's just a matter of time. And some people do speed there. So it just, with common sense, now that the people are still there, they just need to have a look and see that some things new just don't work. And this is one of them.
Peggy O'Dwyer, have you gone out to the Standhouse Road to have a look at this? And what's your assessment?
Yeah, good morning, John and Owen. This is an area, I suppose, that I've been keeping an eye on for some time. As you know, this is a a development that when the county councillors were given the brief didn't support it because of the actual location where it is. It's going out onto Stanthouse Road, a rural road that takes you on up into Pollerstown, all agricultural land, but on Borpenola, it got through with on Borpenola. So, John, yes, I drove it yesterday, and following my phone call, I did ring the Gardaí. Yes, they did say they had received issues around near misses, and as John mentioned there, one accident there. It is narrow, and I was only doing 30. I know the men were there doing the road realignment, but I was going, oh. So John is right. It's all about 2 metres now in the sense of the footpaths, that you have the shared space, pedestrian and walking. But then this 2 metre becomes 1 metre because it's outside a homeowner's house. So following on from that, I have spoken to the senior executive engineer in the Roads, Transportation and Public Safety in Kildare County Council. They are going to go out and look. John is right. I was very nervous actually passing it, and I reckon, you know, there's big haulage lorries coming from there. There's all the equine big lorries come through there from the Curragh races, and yeah, a safety audit will have to be done on it, and John is right.
John, what's your view then? Because is it not a case now of, you know, trying to reverse this is going to be very difficult? The curb has been built, and I'm just looking at this video again, where it's a car and a minibus, and they're meeting each other on the Stanthouse Road, and they're finding it very hard to pass by. What do you think can be done now in retrospect?
Well, the only thing that you could see in a practical sense, and I'm not sure if it's private land, but on the opposite side of the road there, you'll notice that there's an earth bank. The only option is to try and buy back a metre of that earth bank and put in an extra piece of tarmac pad, because, like, my car is an average car. It's 2 metres wide with the mirrors out. If I meet another average car at the moment, I have 40 centimetres between our mirrors if one of us are not going too fast. And people do speed along there. And correctly, as Peggy said, the volume of traffic here is unnatural. We get the rat run effect there because people don't want to go in by McLaughlin's because of the mayhem there. We get school bus run there morning and night. We get the heavy traffic, and we get the local residents. And very shortly, there's a new estate coming in, which will bring extra volume. It's just a time bomb. They need to buy back that meter on the left as you come into town, if it's possible, if it's not private land. There is no other option if anyone has common sense to it, because you can't take that path down. Yeah, and there's nowhere to go with that person's gate. And Peggy correctly said, there's actually a private house gate coming out into the main road there. If that person sticks their nose out, the person with the buggy, like, their life is in their own hands, or the person walking their dog or whatever, they just have nowhere to go.
I'm looking here as well. A message has just come in to say, on the topic of the Stanthouse Road, my wife and 3 grandkids were in that crash on Wednesday. A lorry came out of Curragh Farm and hit the car on its side. And Peggy, nobody is disputing the fact, because of shared space now and accessibility, buggies, wheelchairs, etc., that the footpaths need to be wider. But the point that John is making is, you can't widen the footpath and not widen the road either, because otherwise everything becomes too narrow.
Yeah, and just for when the completion of that Curragh Farm is, there will be a traffic light junction there just coming out from Curragh Farm. So that in itself will create people swinging out onto a road where there's probably going to be cars already. The landowner on the other side, just for John, because I have been up there just on another issue, it is private land. Unless they could go back and make that footpath, a 1 metre footpath, which takes away then from, you know, being a shared space in relation to cycling and walking. They had to go to the 1 metre farther up, and maybe in hindsight it would have been better just to leave it all that 1 metre and bring the caution that's into it. Because we only put up a speed of 50 on that probably about 2 years ago. Again, that was a road that there was huge speed on it, and the guard had asked us. The 50 has only gone up, but people, I was doing 30 yesterday and I was very nervous.
Okay, John, final word to you then.
Yeah, look, hopefully a bit of common sense will prevail while the construction workers are still there. Maybe not, but, you know, when this closes up and they're gone, you'll never get it done. But it's only a matter of time. I do hope that the people in that crash there coming out of Curragh Farm are okay. That's a different crash to the one that I told you about with my neighbour and somebody else. So it just adds to the volume. It's plain as day to see that it's not working. So why wait until some poor individual is killed or badly hurt to fix something that's not working? Now is the time. That's what I'd say.
There's another message in that says, I travel the Stanthouse Road every day to go to work. The narrowing on the road is lethal. 2 cars cars can't meet, you have to pull in a bit. So if you were travelling even at 30 or 40 kilometres an hour, people will hit each other, according to this listener. John, thanks for raising it on the programme this morning. Thanks to Fine Gael councillor Peggy O'Dwyer as well for coming on to us and responding as well. And we'll keep in touch with both of you on that.